Morning. What a great joy it is on this rainy, overcast Sunday to welcome each and every one of you as we come together to celebrate the gifts and the blessings from Almighty God. As we come, we hope and we pray that our hearts, minds, and our spirits might be open and receptive to the workings and the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
We offer a warm welcome to all who are visiting with us this morning, especially those new visitors. If you are visiting with us today, please be sure and take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. And as I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew. Pass it to others in your pew. Finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone normally that sits next to you is not there today, please be sure to give them a call, tell them they were missed and you were thinking about them. You can write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders, place them in the folders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. A couple announcements that I wanted to highlight this morning. There is still a need for a few helpers at our Vacation Bible School. And as you can see in the narthex way back in the far corner, Penny has it real organized. She has some brown bags of things that it's written on the brown bags, things, supplies that are needed. So if you'd be so kind to pick up a bag and help with that. And also, another way, if you know of some kids that are in high school, I know we just did this at my women's club 2 weeks ago. We had safety time. And in the Penn Trafford area, they have what's called community service hours that the kids have to get. And I think that's in every district now, Norwin, Penn Trafford, and York. So if you know of some kids that need community service hours, this is a great place for them to be that week. And then Penny can just sign off on that form. These forms, they can get them off the computer if they go to the website, the school website, and print it out and then bring it that week to Bible school. So if you want to see Penny about, signing up for that, that can certainly help them to get community service hours. Let's see, there was something else I wanted to mention. I know Jack has an announcement about work trip, and he's here, so we'll let him speak.
Morning, church. I had quite a few people inquiring as I was walking in this morning about how things went, how was the weather, and I'm here to thank you from the Lance family for what you did. We were actually able to complete the job in its entirety. The carpet was done, trim on the inside, and it needed a coat of paint. The one thing that we did find out from Heart and Hand is that when he went back out the next day to pick up the ladder we borrowed from them, they had already moved the furniture in, so that room was used the very next day. So I want to thank you from the Lance family. There were several times during the build and that David just kept saying, you can't know how much this means to us. And I tried to explain to him that, some people would say to us, well, who are the Lance family to you? Why would you want to help them? And I said, well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're, as Christians, we're supposed to help one another. And, your name came forward. We developed a relationship with this family like we have not developed a relationship with any of the other families that we've ever worked with. From the time that we walked onto the property on Sunday evening to check the materials, David was there explaining to us what they had done, where the materials were, asking if there's anything that he could do. He had the holes dug. I think I had mentioned to you that he was agreed to do that. He had them dug. They were in the proper location, with the exception of one, which was a couple of inches. We had a shift that he placed the concrete in the bottom, had it flattened with a torpedo level, made our job easy. And then he continued to work alongside of me. Actually, Dave and I were almost connected at the hip for most of the build. And he was just constantly overwhelmed by how quickly this all happened. The way that the team took on those tasks that I had scripted and made it all come to be. And one of the things that I had mentioned to our group when we were at our final meeting on Wednesday on the way back home was that if you discount his hours, we don't get that project completed. That's how many hours that David put in. And that's very rare for a homeowner not only to be able to do that. In his state, he actually has a bad back. But, you know, he wanted to be a part of that. And also James, the 14-year-old son, was also very much involved moving parts, using either physical labor or was down helping the crew when they were painting. So, again, I want to thank you for all that you've done for the Lance family in their behalf. I thank you from the work team for your support, for the food, for the monetary contributions, and certainly for the prayers. We saw a total of 10 to 15 minutes worth of rain on Tuesday afternoon, and that was it. So all those storms that were being predicted somehow missed us. And in fact, we enjoyed a lot of overcast on Tuesday. So we thank you and covet your prayers and ask that you, that you please continue to pray for the Lance family. Their lives will be forever changed because of you. So God bless you and thank you. I have asked all of the members of the work team who took photographs to get them to Josh Berger, so he's going to put together a DVD and update the website, the church's website. There were a few photographs that I took. They had me working this whole time. I mean, Wendell, they got me dirty. I actually got dirty. I know. And so there were a few photographs that I had on my phone that we printed out and put it on a poster that's in the Narthex. If you take some time to take a look at that after the service, and you'll see the before and after, so you'll try and get a feel for you know what we left them when we came back home on Wednesday. Again, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jack and Patty, for overseeing that. Well, the rain that missed them did not miss us, so I just wanted to tell you we had a soggy week. Nellie has an announcement. We had a busy week at annual conference.
Well, I got to go to conference. How many here know what conference is? How many have ever been to conference? One taker. Well, it's really an exciting time. I'll tell you the truth, I go because I want to catch up on all the preachers I haven't seen since last year. But it's fun to catch up with everybody and a lot of the lay people that I know from being in lay school. But it's also an interesting time to see how the church functions. This is the business, a lot of it's business of the church. New pastors, retiring pastors, pastors that get honored for something special they've done. And this is the last, this coming year is the last year that Bishop Bickerton will be our bishop. So next year, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. Probably some kind of installation or something.
One of the things we did was we voted on delegates to general and jurisdictional conference. Jurisdictional conference next year will possibly elect, I think he said, one or two. There's a chance because of the decreasing number of members in United Methodist churches that they'll combine two annual conferences and one bishop will handle two. So that'll happen, I believe, in July or August of next year, and then our new bishop will be installed September of 16, whomever that will be. Either will be a newly elected bishop or one that is reappointed.
Okay. So it gets a little bit complicated, but it isn't once you understand what's going on, too. We had to elect delegates to the jurisdictional conference, and there were so many delegates to be elected, and they had to have so many votes, and Well, this list on the back is all of them, and they each had to have over 200 votes or something. They had to, a certain number they had to have.
Cast.
So,
they're going to get 50% of the votes cast. 50%
of the votes cast. So, so we had a lot of votes. There were a lot of repeat votes because there just weren't enough votes made for one person. And there were lay delegates, and then there were clergy delegates. So, and we had to mark little cards where you mark a little mark, and you have to have the right number of mark. And, you know, it just got to be a game after a while. But the job got done. And then besides electing people for the jurisdictional conference, we had to elect or had to vote on legislation. And two of the biggies that we voted on the first day included solitary a bill on or a word on it changed wording, and it actually was promoting the not using solitary confinement as a punishment, and that passed. There was also a condemnation of ISIS that, again, there were some wording problems that got ironed out, and that passed. We didn't vote for ISIS, I'll tell you that. So we all went home happy about that night. And the bishop, at the first session, the bishop speaks and gives a little sermon, and then we have communion, and then all the legislation begins. And the focus is on, guess who? Jesus. And what he says. So the church keeps its focus, tries to. A lot of personalities involved, but we try to keep our focus. And that was really the theme of the week, was leadership and Christian leadership. And so it was very good. We also had a speaker. There were several speakers, but one that impressed me was the bishop from South Carolina. He was the bishop of the United Methodist Church. The church where all the activity has gone on recently is an African Methodist Episcopal Church, and it is the first African American Episcopal Church on the United States in the United States, and that's different from the Methodist Church, which started actually the first church is in my hometown of Baltimore, which has now become the United Methodist Church. So it's kind of fun figuring out how everything fits together, but. It was very enlightening. The speakers were good, and it does get boring sometimes. Some people bring things to do to keep themselves awake. I can't imagine why, but it's a very enlightening time, and a nice time to get to meet people that you don't know. You walk away from there with new friends too. So it was very good.
Okay, thank you, Nellie. And there's also a website that if you want to read about it, I did that the other day. There's a message from Bishop Binkerton, and you can read about what actually went on. So that's helpful, too. I think Chris has an announcement.
Good morning. Please forgive me for being a little haphazard and all over the place on this one, but I was totally caught off guard on Friday. On Friday, a friend and an old member of this church had a brain aneurysm and was put into the hospital, and the prognosis wasn't good. There was no brain activity. A lot of us pulled together to help heal ourselves and others and to help provide some relief. But on Friday, Wendy Belego had a brain aneurysm, and she was a member of the youth group here, and her mother was one of the advisors, and they were very involved with it. Yesterday, we found out that she was an organ donor, so they were going to be checking out what organs were still viable and usable, and then they were going to be taking her off of the life support. I want to ask, I know it seems more appropriate for prayer at the moment, but it isn't. I do want to ask prayers for the family, that they can feel God's love and comfort and care. Over the day, yesterday and Friday, Dawn, myself, and a few other friends had kind of started to organize a minor bit of relief for the family. They're going to be having to deal with funeral arrangements and so forth next week. So we got together and decided that we were going to provide meals in the evening for the family. I'm not asking that anyone do any cooking or anything like that, but if anyone would be interested in a little financial gift to help with groceries, to provide meals for this family that meant so much to the kids as we were growing up and helped develop us into what we are today, you can send those financial gifts to Dawn on her PayPal account at missdawn25@yahoo.com. That's missdawn25@yahoo.com. Or you could see her in person and give those to her. But we're going to be trying to provide meals for the evening and probably some lunch meals for them all this week. So any help would be appreciated. But most definitely, please keep Wendy's family and her friends and her 10-year-old son, Sam, in your prayers, because they're going to need all of the support and help that they can get over the next few months. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I know a lot of us remember her from youth group. The only other announcement that I have is there is a plastic container in the narthex, and it has bags in it for those of you that have young children. It has activities to keep them busy, so feel free to use those, make use of them, and return them after the service. It helps to occupy their time a little bit. Are there any other announcements? Okay, seeing none. Oh, I do have another announcement. This coming Saturday, we'll be having a 4th of July cookout at the Alternative Service. The cookout and service will be held outside on the lawn. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and drinks will be served. The cookout will start at 4:30, and the service will start at 6. And if you have not experienced the Alternative Service before, this will be an excellent time to do so. Also, if you have been looking for an opportunity to invite a friend to come to church, this is it. So hope to see you there. Any other announcements? Okay, then let us prepare our hearts and minds for our morning worship. Thank you.
Stand and join with me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Wait for the Lord. Wait with faith and hope. Wait for Christ's healing and strength. Waiting and hoping, we come to worship. Please join with me in the unison prayer. Healing and healer God, call us to rise in faith this day. Strengthen us to walk into the light of your healing and your hope. Inspire us to trust your promises and celebrate the power of your steadfast love. In the healing name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 117, O God, our help in ages past.
So how are you two this morning? Have you done? Oh, we've got some more coming. Hello, ladies. So have you been having a good summer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been playing in the rain?
Yes, no.
Playing in the mud?
No.
I was driving along some country roads yesterday, and the farmers' fields were just full of water.
Yeah, we saw that too.
You know what that's going to mean later on?
Lots and lots of stuff.
Maybe not. It might be so much water the plants don't grow.
I knew.
And then we're not going to have corn or vegetables. But somebody at early service brought zucchini squash. Anybody else have zucchini yet? See, he brought about 8 or 10 zucchini squashes that he's already got. Mine aren't that far ahead yet. You're growing them? Do you like zucchini? Do you like your vegetables?
We're growing cucumbers in our backyard.
Cucumbers? You know what else you can make out of cucumbers?
Pickles.
Pickles. Yes. I know. Did you know that? Yeah. So let me think here of a story about Jesus today. It's actually on these lessons here. There are some people who are sick. And the one person that's sick, her daddy comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, my little girl's sick." Or it could be his little boy, but in this story, it's a little girl. "Will you come and help her?" So Jesus starts on the road journey to go. And, you know, when Jesus travels, he's not by himself. Not only are the disciples with him, but he talks as he walks. And so there's a huge group of people. And there's this other woman that she's sick as well. And she knows in her heart, all I have to do is reach out and touch the hem, just a piece of clothing of Jesus, and I'll be made better. And you know what? So there's all kinds of people around Jesus, and she gets really close and sticks her hand in and boom, touches like his pant leg. She's better, just like that. And you know what Jesus does? He stops and he looks around and he says, "Who touched me?" Because he knows somebody touched him. "Who touched me?" Now, have you ever been in a crowd walking along, like at a parade, bumping, pushing, shoving, hanging on to mom and dad so you don't lose them, or grandma and grandpa? Come on. His disciples are going, "Come on, Jesus. Everybody's bumping into you. Who touched me?" What'd that woman do, you know? Did she run away scared? "I did." And he says, "You're made well." And then he goes and finds this little girl and he makes her well makes her well also. Jesus does some great things. And you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about it to the adults. But you know, we all need to be made well also. Because, you know, I think of the last 10 days you turn the news on, and there's a lot of scary stuff going on with some bad people that are not doing nice things. And their hearts need to be healed, as well as our hearts need to be healed. So we need to pray that Jesus will always heal our hearts and make us well so that we know how to be those people that Jesus wants us to be. Let's bow for prayer. Jesus, as you healed people in the scriptures today, we pray that you will always heal us. That every day we might be forgiven from our past and begin all over again to be the boys and the girls that you have created us to be. Oh God, bless all of these children that they might always live for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
We cross our hands, our
Connie and Nellie for sharing your gift. Our responsive reading today is 848 in your red hymnal, Psalm 130. Please follow along with me. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Lord's word, I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption. If the ushers will come forward, it is now time for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings. And giving God, your servant Paul gave the early churches wonderful guidance for giving. As we present our tithes and offerings to you, we remember that you not only see what we give, but the hearts from which our giving comes. May those hearts be filled with joy, overflowing with compassion for others, and faithful in acknowledging how much we have been blessed by your generosity. May you find us excelling in the grace of giving. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. If you turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see our prayer concerns and prayer list there of individuals in personal care homes, those that we continually pray for, those for the month, and then our service personnel. As was mentioned, Wendy and her family
I did Bob, who was the youth pastor associate here. I don't know the exact year. Anybody know off the top of your head? In the what? Late 80s? Okay. 86. Okay. He's serving up in Erie now, and he called me last evening on his way home from the hospital, and we had some conversation with Wendy, so continue to remember them in our prayers. The reason Bob called was kind of a courtesy call, because he, you know, she's technically a member here, but he probably will be asked to do that funeral because of her relationship, and he didn't want to step on my toes, and I said, not a problem, but I did offer a funeral dinner, so I don't know when that will be. As Bob thought, they were going to remove her from life support this morning. At some point, so we're possibly looking at Wednesday or Thursday. So, Dot, hi. Good morning. So, you know, I'll keep you in the loop as I hear. Because we do have Mrs. Peckman's service tomorrow that will take place here at 10 a.m. with a luncheon and then burial to follow. And then I have another funeral Wednesday evening. Roger Wallach, they were neighbors of ours as a previous appointment. Roger was the one, I guess about 2 weeks ago, was in a motorcycle accident over in Bedford. Evidently, a car pulled out in front of him, and the car did not see him, and they must have stopped at the Buffalo Farm, and he rear-ended them. He bought himself a motorcycle at Christmas. I think he was in his late 50s, early 60s, so I'll have his services Wednesday evening. Let me get through all these lists here. The Belegro family, Lori, Mr. James, Madison, Vanessa, Hannah, family of Rich, family of Jody, and I'm going to end on a blessing. Carter was born 6/22. Was that Monday? I heard you say the grandson of Janie and Tom, and the nephew of Kevin. So congratulations. How many grandkids now? Two. Both this year? Just this? Wow. So is it going to continue at that rate, or? Yeah, hope not. So, you know, congratulations there. And, you know, as I guess it was the theology of the Lion King, you know, that circle of life. You know, there are those in our midst who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and there are those in our midst who are celebrating a new life. And that's just how that works. It's tough some days. A couple times in my ministry, you have a funeral one morning, one day, and a wedding later on that afternoon. And, you know, you pray you get the right words at the right place. As I'll speak later on, I kind of redid my sermon last night, having taken some time off. But the events of the last 10 days... And, you know, the shootings that have been taking place. You know, the church has a lot of work before it. And we need to remember that the presence of Christ might rest with us. That church in South Carolina did everything right. They welcomed that man into their midst in a Bible study. They offered him hospitality. And it just turned sour. And, you know, as someone asked me about annual conference, you know, we even as a conference body don't know how to disagree. We don't know how to debate issues and still be friends. We tend to be polarized in our beliefs. And that has to bring tears to Almighty God, that we can't be united in our differences and see the heart of others and celebrate that God has created instead of that which divides us. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we unite them in our prayer hymn, number 474. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Our gracious and loving God, your love for us will not let us go. Grab hold of our hands, O God, and hold on tightly, we pray, that we might experience your grace and your forgiveness, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, each and every day, that we might be your faithful servants, that we might live and move, O God, within your kingdom, within the words and teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears, his voice. How long, O Lord, must we wait for a peace that passes our understanding within the world? How long, O Lord, must we wait for your kingdom to come? How long, O God, must we endure? How long, O God, must we wait for that moment in time when we truly see one another as brothers and sisters? Oh God, we pray that our hearts, our minds, our spirits might not only be united with one another, but they might be united with you. For you are the one that changes, that transforms, that makes new. You are the one, O God, who seeks to make life filled with purpose and direction. You are the one, O God, who has sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for the world. Oh God, we pray that his teachings, that those seeds of wisdom, those seeds of good news, that they might be planted within each and every one of us, that they might be nurtured, that they might grow and blossom, that the good news might be lived and proclaimed boldly and confidently in the lives of each and every one of us. Oh God, there is work before us. Pull us and draw us out of our comfort and send us boldly and triumphantly out into the world that we might be your church, your servants, your disciples. Oh God, we pray. We pray for the hurts and the needs of the world. We pray for those places, those individuals that are filled with hatred. We pray where there is hunger physically and spiritually. We pray, O God, for those places where there is oppression, where individuals' lives are held and captive. Oh God, we pray where there is grief. We pray where there is sorrow. We pray where there is hunger. Oh God, we pray for those moments and times, those joyous celebrations where there is love, where there is celebration, where there is wholeness, where there is health, where there is mission and ministry. Oh God, we pray for the assurance of your Spirit to guide and to direct each and every one of us here this day. Oh God, we pray. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The passage of Scripture that's in the bulletin, Mark 5, just kind of hold on to that for a little while. Last Thursday, a week ago, my brother and his wife were traveling up from Charleston, South Carolina, to celebrate with my family on my dad's 80th birthday. And Craig and I didn't get into a lot of discussions about that event 10 days ago at the church in South Carolina, but he did say that Friday morning his phone lit up like a Christmas tree, and that he owns a couple businesses in Charleston, and the African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME Church, is right on the main thoroughfare, I guess, of Charleston. And word did not get out sufficiently early enough, but this past Wednesday at Garden City United Methodist Church, just outside of Monroeville, a service at 7 o'clock in the evening took place. Community clergy from around the Monroeville area of ecumenical body participated in worship. William Meekins, the assistant to the bishop, was there. Paul Taylor from the Pittsburgh district and Pat Nelson here from the Greensburg district were there and leading in worship as well. Reverend Scott DePastor of Garden City United Methodist Church, which happens to be one of our, I believe, only integrated congregations of a healthy mixture of people from around the world. He worked on, I believe, his D-Min with Clem, as he calls him, the pastor that was killed Thursday evening a week ago. And he said when he first met Clem, it was around the meal time, and, you know, Clem was in the black tradition of the suit and the tie and just... And Scott was there in probably shorts and a T-shirt. Not sure where he was going to sit down, and there was an open seat at Clem's table, and Clem looked at Scott and said, "Friend, come have a seat." And he said, that was Clem. Everybody was invited to sit at his table, and I believe that he said, because I've not kept up with the news, that the young man that did the shooting was invited to sit right next to Clem at that Bible study. And he specifically went to that church because as the state senator, Clem was doing some things that the white man did not agree with the blacks. As I said, that church did what it was supposed to do. They were welcoming. They were hospitable. They opened their doors to someone who was not part of that congregation. You know, Psalm chapter 13, verse 1 to 2 says, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long until we in the church get it right?" Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way Jesus opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The fascinating verse 24. The word provoke is not usually convey a positive image. To provoke someone is to stir up a negative emotion or anger or something. But the writer of Hebrews says, 24, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to do good deeds." Wow, I think maybe in the life of the church around the world, we need to do some more provoking. We have in our midst the one who was, the one who is, the one who will forever be. And we have, as Hebrews, we're not always certain how to deal with this great high priest, because we're not sure, at least in the Methodist tradition or the Protestant tradition, what that means to have a priestly person in our midst, but Hebrews says you have this great high priest in Jesus Christ, the one who comes to us, the one who intercedes on our behalf through the Almighty. We have his words. We have the the teachings of Jesus Christ. And how long until we hear, take to heart, and do the words of Jesus Christ? How long, O Lord, must we wait for that to come to fruition? If the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ are taken to heart, then it's not long at all. But if the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ are not taken to heart, well, my friends, it's been going on for thousands of years of tension and turmoil, hatred and killings. And we really have to ask ourselves, when is this merry-go-round of inequality going to stop? You know, it's been shared in some of the meetings where I've been to over the last few months that as the bishop and the cabinet began their appointment makings this season, they've run up against some disheartening experiences. They've had churches complain to them about the Asian pastors that we just can't understand them, we don't want them anymore. We have in our conference 10 district superintendents, two of which are females. One of those females was doing the intake. That's when a new pastor was being introduced to the staff parish committee. And after that intake and probably an hour or so time of conversation took place, what usually happens is that pastor is removed and placed off in another room. And the DS has a conversation with that pastor. Well, what do you think? Do you think it's a good match? Are there any huge red flags that we need to be aware of? And then the DS goes into the committee of the staff parish and says, well, what do you think? And one time this spring, the staff parish said, we will not take that pastor because they're not wearing a necktie. And the female DS looked at them and said, I haven't worn a necktie for 20 years. And they said, that's exactly right. We won't take any woman pastor. Or how about another one of our female DSs? Could have been the same one, I'm not sure. Was doing another intake. Had a conversation after the interview and said to the pastor, what do you think? Yeah, it'll work. Went into the staff parish and they said, well, point blank, we don't want a woman. How do you have the nerve to say that to your female district superintendent pastor? We don't want a woman. And she looked at them and she said, are you telling me that you don't want this dynamic, energetic, incredibly highly respected female pastor in the conference? You'd rather have a mediocre male? And they said, we'll take a mediocre male any day over a dynamic female. You know, we've still got a lot of issues to deal with in the life of the church. Why can't we accept our differences and get along? I mean, we don't, in this sanctuary, I'll bet we could find differences of opinion in the life of the church, but we can still worship together. Why do we have to think in the life of the world around us that because someone's different, we have to kill them? But I do believe that the power and the presence of Jesus Christ does have the power to overcome. I believe that the power and the presence of the love of Jesus Christ and the grace and forgiveness that is offered to each and every one of us does have the power to overcome. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are part of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The scripture that I didn't read this morning, that's from the Gospel of Matthew, that I mentioned in the children's sermon, go home and read it, because it's stories of two wonderful healings in the life of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that just as Jesus Christ healed then, Jesus Christ can heal our hearts and minds and spirits today. Last evening, there were actually a mom and a dad and two children that were visiting for the first time, and another woman that were visiting for the first time at the Saturday night service. And the mom and the dad were there, the two little girls they had. One was, I think, 2 years old, and one was 3 months, still in that carrier. What do they call those things? Just carrier? You know, those ones you can swing them in or lock them into the seat. Hold the thought of the three-month-old or the new grandchild for a second. Because, my friends, Lincoln, Gandhi, Dr. King, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, they were all born as little children. They weren't born heroes and reformers and those that pushed the limits for change and reform. They were born just like us. But they had words to proclaim, to boldly go into their communities. And that boldness needs to be a part of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as well. That we might boldly go into the world. Oh, I'm a Trekkie. To boldly go where no one has gone before. The new one changed it, if you catch that. If you're an old timer, the old one was to boldly go where no man has gone before. The next generation changed that to boldly go where no one has gone before. Well, we'll quote Star Trek, but let us boldly go, perhaps where no one has gone before. And that means if you're standing in the line at the grocery store and someone makes an inappropriate comment about a group or an individual, challenge them. If it occurs, as the saying goes, around the water cooler, challenge them. And don't let those things, that stuff, be allowed to live and grow and be rampant in our society, but make the teachings of Christ and the love of Almighty God be what is rampant in our society. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your presence comes for the transformation of the world. Bless us and anoint us, O God, with a fueling, a fire, words that cannot be kept silent, that cannot be kept tucked away. O God, may we boldly go into the world and be used for great things. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. The hymn has been changed. Number 378, not what's listed, but the wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, because John Newton, the writer, a slave trader, captain of a ship, had his heart changed when the presence of Almighty God grabbed a hold of him and he penned the words to this hymn. Indeed, might our hearts, minds, and spirits be changed. Let's stand and sing together. Gracious, loving God, your grace for the world is amazing. Your grace for each and every one of us is amazing. Oh God, with your grace and love, the words of Jesus Christ within each and every one of us, waiting to be proclaimed, boldly, oh God, send us into the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.